The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for tuning into Manx Radio and Man in Line on till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. You can email studio at manxradio.com or WhatsApp 166 177, but you will need to stick 07624 in front of that. Well, yesterday, the Southern Swimming Pool took a lot of our time. And right next to the Southern Swimming Pool is Castle Rushen High School, one of the six high schools on the Isle of Man. And the likelihood that more teachers are leaving the profession to seek careers in other sectors is exercising the attention of a former teacher, a man who left teaching to become a politician, Jason Morehouse, one of the MHKs for Arbury, Castle, Town and Maloo. He's a teacher at Castle Rushen before he entered politics, and he reckons younger teachers are in part starting to leave due to the concerns over the cost of housing on the Isle of Man. It's always been a moot point getting essential workers to the island and them not being able to earn enough to get on to our ever-disappearing housing ladder. Well, he spoke this morning and asked Julie Edge for figures on resignations for the House of Keys.
It's one of those jobs where you're basically ensuring that our young people are performing to the maximum. And in terms of the past 2 years, we've had lots and lots and lots and lots of issues. At the moment, there are so many job opportunities. And people are thinking, well, why don't I retrain? Why don't I do something else? And people are now prepared to take a risk. I'm aware of several teachers at Castle Rushen, for example, who've resigned in the past 12 months. And when you actually look at those teachers, they were kind of the future assistant heads and deputy heads. You think, gosh, you're actually losing something quite significant here. And the old teachers who've been there for 18 months, 2 years, who've been there for several years, who've got the experience. And it's that change that concerns me. It's something slightly different from what we've had before. We've heard locally about teachers who are struggling to pay their rents, teachers who are struggling just in terms of the work overload position, but also things like the housing. The minister said twice to me that the support in terms of housing is being looked at. We're now coming close to another academic year, and these teachers are actually looking at, can we afford to stay on the island? And when rents are so high and these people wanting to possibly buy their own house in the future, it's a difficulty. I know it's not just teachers who are experiencing this, but it's one particular group of key workers that we must actually make sure we're listening to, because if they do go, there'll be major consequences for the whole island.
How do you think we can approach this? If you are a teacher, have been a teacher, or you have somebody in the family who's a teacher, just wonder how they're viewing it. The fact that teachers, by definition, will be well-educated, they'll be able to pursue academic careers, could just go and retrain for something else, possibly earn perhaps more money, maybe have a better work-life balance and go off to the many jobs that are available within the Manx economy. But then again, they will have been trained. Perhaps some of them even been trained by taxpayers' money on the Isle of Man. Gone away to teacher training college, got a bachelor's of education, maybe a PGCE at the end of that. But in the end, our children need to be educated. We have to have enough teachers. Certainly, the new principals at Ballacamine this coming year and the new principal at QE2 will be facing that problem of matching the number of teachers to the number of classes that have to be taken. COVID's been an enormous reset, and that's just one part of it. Can we take a look at what's happening in the Isle of Man Breast Care Clinic, says this correspondent. I had occasion today to contact them regarding a request from my GP for an appointment for myself for an exam and mammograms. Turns out they're currently don't have a radiologist, says this correspondent, and therefore aren't doing any mammograms. Where does it leave women with urgent breast cancer concerns? This, in my opinion, is a terrifying situation. Well, I know our news team are trying to get onto that just to see if that's true. and to get to the bottom of it. But if you're in that position where you've been looking for an appointment for an exam and perhaps a mammogram, what's been said to you? Let's go to Peter with us, first of all, on Man in Line now. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I just want to speak about the air traffic control situation over here.
Okay.
I was listening to the news before, and it was on about the Chief Minister, I think, saying about how many flights have been cancelled and all the rest of it over TT. Well, my wife was on the early plane this morning with an appointment at the hospital in Liverpool for the 7:15 flight. It eventually took off just after 9:30 with all the other flights that were supposed to take off as well that were all delayed. And apparently they had no air traffic control officer.
None on duty there, or, sorry, just be...
None on duty. Everybody had to wait for one to turn up.
Yes, well, I mean, the early flight, I mean, the early flight, what was it, the 10:07, I think, to London City, didn't go till 8:25. And your wife was on the 7:00 to Liverpool, is that right?
That's right.
And that went at 9:40.
She got there at half. She took off at 9:30.
9:30.
9:30. Yeah.
Oh wow! Because it's saying on their departures board that it went at 9:40.
Well, she told me it was 9:30. But even so, what is going on with there's no air traffic control officer on an island when it's a tourist as well? I mean. You know, it's just not on, is it?
Right. So, was that given as an official reason when they got onto the plane that they didn't have an air traffic controller on duty?
She was told in the airport with all the other people that they had no air traffic control officer.
My word, my word. Where do you think that leaves us, Peter?
I don't know, but not in a very good place, is it? You know, I mean, it's not a very good advertisement for the Isle of Man. You know, you book your flights and everything else, and they can't come. And it's not just the plane operator's fault, is it? It's the actual Isle of Man government's fault.
Well, we'll have to see what the new airport director has to say. He's due in August. Let's hope they sort it out before then.
Well, yeah, I mean, what they need to do is start paying people decent money and get some decent staff. Instead of giving all this money to these tree huggers and everything, and wasting money.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks for that, Peter. We appreciate that. I hope your wife gets back on time.
Hopefully, yeah, she'll get back today because last time she went, they cancelled the flight, so she had to stay overnight.
Oh my word! All right. Thanks for that, Peter.
Okay.
I appreciate your call. Lots of delays at the airport this morning. And we've checked with Ronald's Way, just got off the phone from Ronald's Way. They've confirmed they're short of air traffic controllers, but they say they've found a way to work around it, and the first plane is due to depart in 20 minutes' time. That was a message we got earlier on this morning, but everything was delayed this morning. The 6:50 to London City, the 7:00 Loganair to Liverpool, the 9:30 Loganair to Manchester didn't go till 11:20, and the 9:55 EasyJet to Gatwick didn't go until 10:30. And with EasyJet's tight turnarounds, that will do them no good whatsoever. The 11:10 Loganair to Birmingham didn't go till 12:15 about now, and the Loganair 12:30 to Heathrow is scheduled to go at 1:15 this afternoon. So they don't have enough air traffic controllers at Ronald's Way Airport. How are we going to get around that? And also, we'll try and look at that situation regarding the breast care clinic and the shortage and the fact they don't have a radiologist. We'll get to the to that. And residents in the south of the Isle of Man apparently are warned you may experience loss of broadband services this week. Upgrades are taking place in the area. But it starts on Thursday. Thursday to Saturday, Manx Telecom are installing fibre network in Castletown and Ballasalla, so do be aware of that. Midnight till 6 in the morning, Thursday to Saturday, work will take place for that fibre network in Castletown and Ballasalla. If your router doesn't automatically reconnect to the network, you're advised to Turn it off and turn it on again. Sorry, reboot it. Turn it off and turn it on again. So that's something to note if you're in the south. You're getting a new fibre network Thursday into Saturday. Lots of messages from yesterday, which I'll come to in just a few moments' time. With an enormous amount of messages came in yesterday. Lots regarding TT and also the suggestion about a more permanent and prominent wall of remembrance for those fallen during the TT. And the fact that a couple of people said on air yesterday that we seem to just gloss over it. But if there was something more permanent and more prominent for riders who've fallen in the TT, that would be more appropriate in their opinion. Do you think the Isle of Man has too many local authorities? There are 21 boards representing different areas of the Isle of Man, dealing with issues like waste collection, parks maintenance, and in some cases, car parking. Well, David Ashford, remember David Ashford, ex-Treasury Minister, ex-Department of Health and Social Care Minister, now on the backbenchers, the Douglas North MHK is calling for local authority reform on the Isle of Man and going to bring a motion on the issue in next month's Timbal sitting. He'd like to see the number of authorities drastically reduced.
My view has always been the same, which is the five local authority model, north, south, east, west and Douglas. I know there's some people who prefer a nine model, but one of the things I would say I saw as a local authority member is that sometimes the local authorities themselves do an awful lot of hard work, particularly the small local authorities, actually, which it may seem I'm trying to be critical of by saying it needs to reform, but they're not given the support to be able to deliver the services. I've always felt that authorities on a bigger scale actually will be able to deliver more services. We have a very centralised government here in the island, and we need to decentralise. You know, I think there needs to be much more refined statutory functions for local authorities, more stuff delivered on the ground, building control, where for instance Douglas, and there is a couple of others, I think Onken's one, and then there's another authority that deliver building control. Other than that, it's centralised in government. It shouldn't be.
So what do those currently serving in local government think about the prospect of fewer authorities? Mr Ashford, as he said, favours the five model, north, south, east, west and Douglas. Well, Juan McGuinness is a commissioner in Ramsey, is a Ramsey Town commissioner. So we asked Juan McGuinness about the pros and the cons.
Well, it's a lovely soundbite and very easy to say five larger local authorities. The devil with any of these things is absolutely in the detail. The idea of more power from central government sounds wonderful, but more power equates to more responsibility, which equates to more things that the ratepayer would have to bear the cost of. Around seven local authorities in the north, I think. Whenever you have town and country combined, there will be quite a large transition, not just in financials but in representation of the people, and I think that that would be something that would really have to have the buy-in and support of all the ratepayers and residents of the north because of the knock-on effect it could possibly have.
That was Joe McGuinness. Paul Weatherall is a Balaff Parish Commissioner, and he reckons there does need to be change, but he's not sure this is quite the way to do it.
I'm not sure why David's raised it at the moment. He may have a bit of time on his hands and wanting to make his voice heard, but if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think it is broke, though. I think the way the rates has been left to sort of fester as an issue for decades now, there hasn't been a re-evaluation for a long time, and the way local authorities are financed is certainly open to question. My view is it probably needs to go the other way around, and that there are services that local authorities currently provide that would be best managed on an island-wide basis. Is this actually going to come about, or are we going to talk about it again for the rest of this administration and actually not do anything? If we are going to do this properly, then it needs all people concerned with local government and central government coming together to thrash out the issues, decide on the best way forward, and then put that to Tynwald. I'm not sure that there's the appetite to do that at the moment.
That's Paul Weatherall. If you're involved in local authorities, if you sit on a board, if you're one of the people on those boards, 21 boards representing different areas of the Isle of Man, obviously they have responsibilities, they have funds, they attract budgets. Is this the way to go forward, to make it leaner, meaner even, North, South, East, West and Douglas. Text on 166 177. You can email studio at maxradio.com. And more comment in to come. I can't believe there's going to be a shortage of teachers, says Hilda. It really surprises me the way that people moan about the fantastic pay and holidays teachers get. I would have thought their posts would have been snapped up. So you're quite right, Hilda. People do talk about the fact that teachers get an easy deal. You never hear that from teachers or members of their family. So if there is going to be a shortage, well, in the end, if there's a shortage of teachers, then surely the education system will be pauperised. It'll be worse off because of it. We do have to wonder about where that's going to go. Here's a message in. This is from Texter 641, just to say, don't believe or rely on the government webpage with the airport arrivals. It's nearly always not up to date and rarely shows correct delays until it's too late. I picked up a friend from the airport last week from a flight. She'd told me for Gatwick whilst waiting. They'd been told it was delayed until such and such a time, yet didn't show us delaying until they'd actually landed this end. Well, the website, I think, has been changed. I think it's been run by an advertising agency now. It's been put together by an advertising agency. The website for the airport does, as you say, sometimes lag a little behind. We had anecdotal evidence that it's not quite easy. It kind of reverts to things. You may be looking at arrivals and then suddenly it will revert to departures while you're trying to look at it. Well, they've decided, I think it obviously cost them a load of money for a brand new website. But if you've got any points as to whether, I mean, if you know why it doesn't, surely where would the information come from? If a delay is posted, it will be automatically updated at the website. That was one person who just said it's not updated. Jason Morehouse has answered his own question, says this texter, 572. The problem with teachers leaving and recruitment in other professions is housing costs. It's not a unique problem to teaching, and it's a big problem for our young people. He'd have done better by pressing the DOI minister or member for housing on housing strategy. Wherever you come to lots of questions, housing seems to be at the back of it. The affordability of housing, the availability of getting onto the housing ladder for young people. Once you get on the housing ladder, life can be an awful lot simpler. You just know how much money you're going to pay. But some people get trapped in rentals for an awful long time. And a message in, perhaps Mr. Ashurst should cut the number of MHKs, not local authorities, says Paul. 008. It's a question that comes up time and time again, that for a relatively small jurisdiction, we do have quite a lot of politicians. And yet there has been some kind of rejigging of it recently, but not that much. We still have 24 MHKs. We still have MLCs and we still have 21 boards representing different areas around the Isle of Man. And more comments in. This is regarding, do you remember yesterday Peter Murcott came on and talked about the fact that the rescheduling in 2023 of TT will mean that people can't get to church. And on the Sunday as well, if Senior Race Day goes to become a Saturday, well, two things, really. What's going to happen to the senior race day holiday on the Friday, traditionally? And what's going to happen to the post-TT races if they get shunted to a Sunday? Then there are churches around the course. Adam said, Andy, regarding Peter Murcott, why is worship different to roads being closed for business? Access being restricted for people to get out to work and do general day-to-day duties. If people aren't that keen to go, if people are that keen to go to worship, they'll leave 30 minutes earlier. I don't think it's an issue, says Adam. Rates aren't linked to income, says this correspondent, so allows for everyone to be taxed, and with an ageing population, they may want to tap into those funds. Central government, I think, should increase tax on companies first. Maybe they should look at the better management of their projects, overspend after overspend. We still don't know how much the Liverpool landing stage is going to cost. We don't really know. I mean, it did shoot up from, was it 37 to 75 million. We don't quite know. In fact, we don't quite know when it's going to be open. John Rimmington. Do you remember John Rimmington? The MHK tried to introduce the 4+1 local authorities and failed moons ago, says Simon. It's the same old chestnut. Now, local authority commissioners don't get paid, whereas staff at government enjoy salaries. So why should paid staff dump work on effectively unpaid volunteers? Will government staff be made redundant if their work is transferred to local authorities? We've often been promised a slimmer government, but again, it never seems to happen. Well, certainly it did with Alan Bell. Alan Bell did it under his jurisdiction. They did trim government, but it did get bigger after that. We merged Lonnon into Garth with the promise of efficiencies due to the size, but I don't feel we ever have seen any evidence of efficiencies due to merging Lonnon into Garth. Our rates have gone up considerably, but I'm unsure what Lonnon has gained since the merger, says Simon. More messages in regarding the bus services, which we've been hearing about delays on the bus services. The director is 10 drivers short, and this morning in Keys, we hear another plus 12 on sick leave. But why? Can anybody answer that question, says Andy. Why are they? Well, presumably because they're sick. 12 drivers on sick and 10 understaffed. That's why there were delays. I just want to draw your attention to, it was a survey that the Co-op Bank has done. Now, it was done in England, but it's a survey by the Co-op Bank regarding green levies. Despite ever-increasing fuel costs, energy costs going up, as well as rising prices, well, just about everything's gone up, some rather surprising news has emerged that a survey that the Co-op Bank did was that people would actually want more intervention on climate change. News to you? Well, that's not from us. That's from findings from this survey for the bank, the Co-op Bank. According to them, the survey was that people will be prepared to pay more to protect the planet. What do you think? Now, we'll be having another one of the green man in lines in a couple of weeks' time. Would you be prepared to pay increased green levies? Apparently, climate emergency tops the list as the social and environmental issue that British people care about most. It's above poverty, it's above food insecurity. More than 30 million Britons believe it's important to invest in green energy to tackle climate change despite rising living costs. Still haven't heard much on the Isle of Man about what our sustainable future is going to be. We'll be talking to Daphne Kane, hopefully, I think, before Tynwald Day, which is 3 weeks tomorrow, about what that committee of theirs is, how it's going to be spending the £42 million for our green future. By the way, this Saturday, it's the Parish Walk. Manx Radio is going to be out and about with the Parish Walk. Father's Day on Sunday, and 3 weeks today, it is Tynwald Day, Tuesday the 5th of July. And there's a message in, who is the person and what's the reasoning for moving the 2023 TT schedule? Can they come on and talk about it? Well, Rob Callister has been on talking about it. And I think Gary Roberts was talking about it as well. And G said, so local authorities, Mr. Ashford thinks local authorities could take on more government services. If he thinks we're going to pay for services twice, our taxes won't change, but I think the rates would just possibly just go up. A message in now that says, James, regarding, this is regarding, it's Peter Murcott, regarding Peter Murcott. It says, racing on a Sunday is a violation of the right to worship, as people won't be allowed to access church. Well, says James, I don't think you need a church to pray, says James. I don't know whether James is agnostic or atheist. If we cut local authorities, does that equate to a rate rise for those who live out of town with fewer services, says Renee. You're asking the big questions today, Renee.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Save over £400 by moving your mobile, unlimited broadband and landline to Shore. Bundle all your services into one great package right now. Simply sign up to a 24-month contract with Shore, enjoy all three services all on just one monthly bill, and save over £400. Visit Shore.com today to find out how you can set up your very own great value big bundle. And remember, you'll always get more from Shore.
Rex Motor Company, or should I now say, the award-winning Rex Motor Company, are here for leasing, sales and servicing of some of the best cars money can buy. We're the first motor dealer to win an Isle of Man award for excellence thanks to our excellent customer service, and you can expect that every time you come and see us. Our friendly showroom team are on Whitehoe Industrial Estate, so come and have a browse of our top-of-the-range vehicles. Or visit rexmotorcompany.im and have a browse at home. That's rexmotorcompany.im.
It's time to celebrate the sound of a generation. Friday, July 1st, the magic of Motown comes to the Villa Marina. Already seen by over 1 million people, it's your turn to catch one of the biggest success stories in British theater history. A breathtaking live concert spectacular featuring classics from the greatest Motown artists of all time. Book now at VillaGaiety.com or call 600-555 and experience the magic of Motown.
Hello, this is Howard Kane. If you're curious about what's in Spotlight, Manx Radio's arts programme every Wednesday evening, wonder no more. It's a bit like this.
It's a sense of the absurd, which I love. It sort of makes you go, ooh, what's that?
I'd always wanted to write a novel.
I'm a ghost, invisible to one and all.
You know what I see in this?
Mm-hmm. Still curious? Then tune in every Wednesday at 6 or download the podcast and listen at leisure. Spotlight, here on Manx Radio, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
After my 26 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock, lots of comments in. David said, concerning the TT and the big changes, has anybody actually consulted the riders themselves? Does that mean we lose the bank holiday, says Texter 095 on the Friday. Senior race day has always been a public holiday. Alan sent me that question. Well, they've not quite said whether senior race day, if senior race day is on the Saturday, how can the senior race day public holiday be? Anyway, some mention in regarding TT, and this one says, just to say, most TT tourists can't get space on the boat on the days of their choice anyway. I spoke to tourists who can't get back until today because of lack of space on the boat, meaning they've taken extra days off work. I think they should just leave the TT programme alone. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, says Stee in St John's. Please don't let's change the TT and its schedules. It works and has evolved over the years to accommodate the riders and their teams. Spectators, say Christine, love it as it is. We're Heritage Island. We're not just a racetrack. Keep our race history as it is. And Derek said hundreds, if not thousands of people will have already pre-booked coming back next year. So if they're changing the days around, that's going to mess up people's plans, the ones that have already booked. From an outside perspective, it looks amateur and shows a lack of intelligence within those even considering changing the schedule around, says Derek in the UK. A message in that says, regarding the bus drivers, I applied for one of those jobs, never heard back. I've got a full bus licence and I've got experience, but never heard a sausage back from Bus Vannin. I'd chase them up if I were you. There's always somebody who's completely ignorant, says Sue, about what teachers do. They open their mouth and show their ignorance. I left teaching, got a similarly paid office job. It's the best thing I ever did. No work at home. My holidays were real holidays. I could take time off when I wanted, including long weekends, shopping days without my own kids. I could also take off-peak breaks, which were much cheaper and less busy. So-called holidays are also unpaid. There were so many other advantages to leaving, I'd no wish to return to teaching. Now, if people think teaching is a doddle, why don't they volunteer in a school for a few weeks and see how they get on. I just wonder, Sue, why do you think people are leaving teaching? Why do you think young teachers are leaving the profession? A note in, this is Texter 692, thank you, saying, when are these green people going to realise that the government is too big and overspent? They'll be broke soon. They will have spent all our money on the pension black hole, and whatever we do will have no effect when China and India carry on not giving a toss and continue. I think we should get our gas out and earn some money, says Dave. This is the Kroger gas. They think there's gas there. They don't know for certain that there's gas there. We'll be finding out more about Kroger as time goes on, by the way. I think the news team have been doing some digging. Not only passenger flights couldn't take off this morning, also apparently the mail plane couldn't land, says Cal. Have we heard that officially? Did the mail plane land this morning? Never mind climate change, says Dave. When is our government going to arrange our £400 payment towards high fuel costs? They've got it in the UK, says Dave. Well, we're not the UK. You do know that, don't you? But it's a nice idea. Heard Daphne Kane was standing in today as deputy speaker. Is Dewan the speaker okay, says Andy. Text 166177, email studio, manxradio.com. To get in touch with Man in Line today. Just because people live out of town, says John, doesn't mean necessarily that they don't avail themselves of the services in town. I live in town, but there are people that come into town for work and leisure and use the town's facilities much more than I do. I think there should be an all-island rate. Even the whole thing out, everybody pays for everything. How can Mr. This is Nick in Onchan. Thank you, Nick. How can Mr. Ashford expect local authorities to take on more responsibility from government? My local authority, I live in Onchan, my local authority can't look after the streets and paths and even their own housing stock with the resources they have. Mr. Ashford wants to come and have a look at the state of some of Upper Onchan's commissioner's estate, says Nick in Oncom. If they change the TT, says H, what happens to the pre- and post-TT classic at Billown? Well, it's a big, big question. Phil Edge was on yesterday from the Southern Hundred and saying that they have lots of discussions to be had with government. And this is proposed. It's a proposed 2023 TT lineup with a senior being on a Saturday. As to what will happen on the Castletown, the southern course, we'll have to wait and see. But again, the point made by Derek, lots of people book up a year ahead from the UK and around the world. They put thousands of euros and pounds into tickets and accommodation on the Isle of Man. We may be mucking them around. Why don't churches start early on that earlier on the Sunday concern, says this correspondent, Texter 022. 12 bus drivers off, shortage of air traffic controllers. Are they sick or have they been abducted by aliens? I think it's possibly just TT. They may have worked a lot over TT. Leave the TT alone. If you have five authorities, says Les, the costs will go up because the pension costs will go up and we'll all end up with paying more in rates, says Les. And Dick dropped me a note in to say Andy Lonan Commissioners was always an uncontested shoo-in, and as a result we had people in for 20 years. Then they were hugely unpopular, but walked in as parish commissioners. Thankfully, with a bigger population in Garth, all the seats are fully contested. So is he. Lonan becoming Garth, I think, was a massive improvement, says Dick. So there are a lot of local authorities, and to a large extent, a lot of them were uncontested. They had that weird situation in Ramsey, though, where at the election, the local authority election, they were uncontested. And then for the later election, they were highly contested. Which brings me on to Douglas and Douglas City. I got a note in from Max, who said, I heard Devon Watson talking about putting lipstick on a pig. Councillor Devon Watson. and talking about the city status that Douglas has now. So Douglas Council will become Douglas City Council. City status, city level services to the residents. Councillor Devon Watson says, obviously the Manx capital is now a city after being made a city as part of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee.
Very cool. Let's hope that this actually creates city-level services and it's not simply a lipstick on a pig. It's exciting stuff. And I think, it's cool to have a capital city instead of a capital town. So let's hope that this changes more than the sort of superficial.
And what was the thinking behind actually going for this, the city status?
I mean, it had been applied for before. We already had a previous application. It cost us absolutely nothing. So it was the view of officers and the previous council to sort of make the application and submit it in, and weren't really sure we'd get it, and we got it. And it's exciting stuff. I mean, I think it's being one of the first Crown dependencies to get it is cool. It is an honour. But then again, let's sort of hope that this is more than simply a symbolic measure, because I think that's what a lot of people are worried about. I think people are worried about, will this mean that we pay higher rates? And as a renter on a sort of median income, I don't really want to pay higher rates in order to justify city status. And I genuinely don't think that this is going to happen. I think it's about leveling up who we are and sort of putting us on the map.
Devon Watson talking, and what's going to happen? Where's the money going to come from? If you're getting city-level services, where will the money come from? Just a quick note in regard, this came in during TT. John dropped a note into me to say, I'm raising the issue that DOI operatives are still allowing traffic to use the TT access road while the main roads were still open. My wife came home last Thursday afternoon after walking our dog on the road above, visibly upset and shaken after three motorcyclists had passed her from behind within inches of her. She'd not heard them coming because of the traffic noise on the main road. She had earlier seen the operatives remove the bollards at Braddon Bridge at least half an hour before the roads were due to be closed. This practice is still going on despite me raising the matter with Tim Crookall, MHK. Is it going to take somebody to be hurt? Or even worse, before action is taken? That was DOI operatives allowing traffic to use the TT access road while the main roads were open. David's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just talking as a civilian here. It's just as a ratepayer of Onchan and a taxpayer of the Isle of Man. David Ashford's picked on a subject really now that he's out of the limelight, if I could say it. I'm not going to be cruel to him. But he's now out of the limelight, so he has to hang his hat on something. And can you imagine, he was a town councillor, then he went into health, and then he went into Treasury. And I think he did a good job. But now he's trying to hang another hat on, passing the book down to the local authorities, who then, and people are going to come on the radio and have been already, and saying is, the money's going to be done on the rates. And I think personally that's the scenario he's trying to progress out there. And it's a shame that really nobody's done either looked at an all-island rate again for the facilities for the island and looked at it properly. There'd be many surveys done. There'd be many books on the shelf that they could pull out and have a little look at. And Chris Thomas was one that he's got a good brain on him, but we never had anything that was delivered from him. And I just think that it's a big, big red herring that's thrown out there now for somebody to try and toss around for a while. And people would say, oh, well he would always say that because he's in one. Building control is only left now with Douglas and Onchan. And that's purely because I was in there at the time, is that we had risks with the minor authorities. You have to employ a proper qualified person to do building control because you can get into problems. And then you'd only find the problems out later in life when the local authority has to pick up the tabs. So when David Ashford says it's Douglas and it's only Onchan, there's nobody else doing it. And it's not been a problem for a long time on that. So I just want to put a bit of a spin back the other way to say, what is he trying to get at? is he trying to just say it's a justification to put some money, extra money, all around the island on the rates, which is unfair and unequitable?
Yesterday, David, I mean, you don't have to comment on this, but if you could, it'd be great. Yesterday, the lady came on and said that there was a southern authority that couldn't enforce the payment of rates. If people didn't pay rates, they didn't go after them.
No, that's totally wrong. A local authority is charged. It's a legal entity in itself. If somebody owes rates to a local authority, they usually write to them and say to them, look, your rates are outstanding. Then you get the 7-day letter saying that if you don't pay your rates, or contact the local authority. And I would plead to people, if people are struggling, make arrangements. Nobody's going to do anything to a lot of people who make arrangements if they can't fund it all at once, or take up the options like local authorities do and government do as well, where you can have 10 payments across the year, and then you've paid your rates. And I would suggest to anybody like that, just contact the local authority. Do never be afraid to say that somebody is struggling or somebody can't help, or contact somebody else who's a friend and say on their behalf, come to them and say, look, the lady's struggling or the family's struggling there. It's going to cost quite a bit of money. Can we do a deal on it? And that's usually in stage payments. Nobody's going to take people to court, and we don't jail people anymore like they used to do years ago.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
Cheers.
All right. Appreciate that. Howard's on Man in Line now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Apologies first. I haven't heard all the programme. I've just come in the door. But Devin Watson, I think it was Devin Watson that was talking to you just before David. And... a little thing on the your website on the news, the Douglas councillor, who is opposed in a sense to the Queen being Lord of Man, and he wants it brought because he is a self-proclaimed Republican. And it made me wonder when he made that statement somewhere to one of your news people, did he oppose the Jubilee celebration money and all the various aspects to it when the council became a city? Was he opposed to that when they were voting for it and various other aspects? What they've got to be careful of, and we read the full title of The Majesty the Queen, part of it is Defender of the Realm. And we are part of that realm. So if you become a Republican, you don't have a representation of the Queen, you will then be denied defence in the form of, in a minor form, fishery protection. And should somebody decide to say, right, I'm going to make the Isle of Man a republic, then you'll have no defence, only what we've got down the harbour, the Manx Navy, the Barul, which only goes out about 3 days a week. So this Devin Watson, the self-proclaimed Republicans, well, are they a stride too far? Because if they take out the Queen as head, then they would have to hold all the money on the island. They would have to pass the laws themselves. They wouldn't go down for royal ascension. And there's a myriad of problems that could rear their ugly heads just by this man wanting to do away with the Queen as Lord of Man. For goodness sake, what harm is that lady doing? She's been 70 years in there as Queen of the United Kingdom, the British Isles, as we call it, done a first-class job and very little scandal. You couldn't say that about any of the government or the town councils, etc. They're not squeaky clean by any means. And if you put a Republican, how often are they going to re-elect that Lord of Man? And where are they going to draw the people from to put their names forward?
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate your point of view. Thanks for calling.
Take Okay, bye now.
All right, it's 9 minutes before one on Man in Line.
It's the Manx Telecom Parish Walk this Saturday. Whether you're walking, watching or driving, remember the roads will be extra busy, so take extra care. For details of road closures and to follow your friends and family, visit parishwalk.com.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorials skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew at manxmemorials.co.uk.
Red and yellow and pink or blue?
Thinking of a rainbow?
No, choosing colours for our windows and doors at Manx Glass and Glazing.
Oh, who'd have thought we'd have so much choice?
We do at Manx Glass and Glazing. When it comes to windows and doors, they offer a great choice of styles, materials and fabulous contemporary colours.
Improve and brighten up your home. Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Or get inspired when you see the range at manxglass.com.
Just hop on board with Tours Isle of Man for the best holiday you could ever plan.
When you book a holiday with Tours Isle of Man, all you have to do is pack your bag, because everything else is taken care of. You'll be picked up and transported by coach to your fabulous destination. Hotels are chosen for their high standards and excursions are included. For the latest Tours Isle of Man brochure, call 822611 or see online.
Visit tours.co.il.
On April 2nd, 1982, Argentina invaded the Falkland Islands.
If you take the gun out of my back, I'm going to transmit that to you. If you take the gun away.
Island resident Aidan Forbes was recalled by his two para bosses.
Our band was on the quayside to see us off, playing Don't Cry For Me Argentina, of course, which was a big hit at the time.
Hear Aidan's story of the battle for Goose Green and the tab across the Falklands to victory in Stanley.
First troops into Stanley, first ashore, first to fight two battles.
The Falklands at 40. Aidan's story on Manx Radio this evening at 6 and available as a longer podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
7 minutes before one. Note in from Nelly, who just said, "Arise, Sir Howard." Thank you, Nelly. Bose said, "I see all the doommongers saying the Randalls will be killing Fields. Entirely wrong. Nothing went wrong with the Randalls across TT." And they also said that the hospital will be overrun with COVID. They were wrong about that too. The doommongers weren't right at all. Texter 262 says, "Andy, Mr. Rashford should finish things he started and not finished before he starts other things." Says that correspondent. 262. Well, David Ashwood was on Agenda with Phil Gorn earlier on this week. You can hear that as a podcast. On the flight radar, the Mail plane was supposed to arrive at 10 past 6 this morning and was diverted back to East Midlands Airport, says Paul. So the Mail plane didn't arrive this morning, according to Paul. Why don't we bring foreign workers across? Bus drivers, aviation workers, teachers, people from European countries will be more than happy to work on the Isle of Man, but are they allowed? Are they not allowed? Do you get the senior race day bank holiday in the last 2 years when there was no racing? I think we did, didn't we, over the past 2 years? A quick word about tomorrow, by the way, if you want to go to Peel tomorrow, Beach Buddies is playing a major part in the tour of the Queen's Jubilee Baton around the Isle of Man. Tomorrow, Wednesday, June 15th, all Beach Buddies volunteers, friends and families are invited to take part. Now, Bill Dale, the founder of Beach Buddies, will pick up the baton from Neil Keg from the Viking Longboats at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and there's going to be a unique beach cleaning session all around Peel. On the beaches, around the castle and on Peel Hill as well. It's going to be filmed. Media's going to be there. It's believed to be a unique occasion, the first time that a baton's been featured in a beach cleaning event. So nip along, 12:30 at Fenella Beach Car Park. Parking may be at a premium, so get there early as well. So Beach Buddies volunteers, tell everybody, nip along tomorrow. It's going to be great publicity and, of course, Beach Buddies is a fantastic idea. Do you know how long Beach Buddies has been going, by the way? 18 years. 18 years ago, Bill was walking along the beach with his dog and noticed rubbish. Picked it up, then picked another bit up, then picked another bit up, and another bit, and then here we are in 2022. That's tomorrow, the big Beach Buddies get together in Peel. Andy said foreign workers are going to want to be paid £26,000 a year. That's why there aren't any on the Isle of Man. Speaking of commissioners, says Sue, I think one of their powers should be to insist that people keep their privately owned property to a reasonable standard. I live on an estate where some houses have derelict vehicles and all sorts of other rubbish on their gardens, attracting vermin. It's a nuisance to next door neighbours. Some of the houses are left empty for long periods. Owners should be made to maintain them if they're a health hazard. Commissioners don't do anything. That's it. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. We're going to be back tomorrow at high noon.
WINT